Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from our curate, Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, Help Us to Reach Out to Our Neighbour. The Old Testament reading is taken from Hosea chapter 2, from verse 18 to the end of chapter 3.
I will make for you a covenant on that day with the wild animals, the birds of the air and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword and the war from the land. And I will make you lie down in safety. And I will take you for my wife forever. I will take you for my wife in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will take you for my wife in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. On that day, I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. And the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. And I will sow him for myself in the land. And I will have pity on Lo Ruhamah. And I will say to Lo Anmi, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. The Lord said to me again, go, love a woman who has a lover and is an adulteress, just as the Lord loves the people of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer of barley and a measure of wine. And I said to her, you must remain mine for many days. You shall not play the whore. You shall not have intercourse with a man, nor I with you. For the Israelites shall remain many days without a king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterwards the Israelites shall return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king shall come in awe to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now we now have 1 Corinthians 9:15 to the end. Thank you, Lynn.
But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing this so that they may be applied to my case. Indeed, I would rather die than that. No one would deprive me of my ground for boasting. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe betide me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more to them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I might by any means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share it in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race of runners, all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run as such a way that you may win. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable garland, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Marilyn. So it's an interesting chapter this morning. We have Hosea, which is a prophet that was asked by God to buy a prostitute, and that was a symbol of Israel. And it was Israel's fidelity, is Israel's turning unfaithfulness represented in this prostitute. And it's interesting, if we're looking back at it now from where we are, it's a bit like offensive buying a woman and all this kind of stuff, but culturally it was a real symbol of actually what God had done for them. He had rescued them out of Egypt, he had bought them, he had paid a price for them, and then they kept turning away from him, they kept doing different things, but he loved them dearly. And so it's an interesting drama that unfolds there, and often you see that with prophets, they do weird things. And it's all to portray a message, because it's not, we don't have the written word, we don't have Facebook or social media or Twitter, it's all through orators, through speaking. And if it's done through drama, it's even more effective. So we have that, and then we have come to 1 Corinthians, and here it's interesting, we got Paul saying that he is a slave to no one, you know, he's free with respect to all, but yet he's a slave to all for the gospel. And it's this interesting turning around of this phrase I like, because in Corinthians in the day, they're a Roman colony, and the Romans, they believed that they were free, they brought freedom to the world. And to us today, that might seem like a weird concept, because we know about the we know about the crucifixions and the armies and all the cruelty that the Romans did. In the day, and at the height of the Roman Empire, there was a guy called Cicero, and he was a philosopher. And he argued that Rome was naturally free. Their very nature was freedom. And it was taking that freedom to the whole world. And that everyone else was a slave. They were a slave to their own religions, slave to their own cultures, all these kind of things. And Rome was taking freedom out into the world. Now, I wonder if you've heard that before a few times in political rhetoric today. And so we're taking freedom to the world, and we'll do it our way, and everyone else is a slave or a savage unless they know the correct system to live by. And so what they had a higher sense, and the Greeks as well, they thought well of themselves, their wisdom, they thought they were very wise, they knew how the world worked, and they thought everyone else was just not as knowledgeable as them. So in nature, the Greeks were free, because they had philosophy. They were at the forefront of technology, but they also thought they had uncovered true human freedom. And so when it comes to Paul's message here about Christianity, and he's saying, I've made myself a slave to all, that's really going to prick their ears up, because they're all about freedom. And today we're all about individual freedom and human rights. And some of it is good. Others is thinking of ourselves almost a bit too highly as an individual, as a soul being that has no interdependence in the rest of the world. And actually, that isn't true. And what Christianity shows is that we are deeply interconnected, that we are made for relationship, and that by harming our neighbor, by mistreating them, by buying cheap products that enslave other people the other side of the world, we are doing wrong. We are enslaving others. It's this whole myth that actually Rome is free, whereas other people aren't. And yet Rome is profiting off the slavery of others. And that is what we see a lot in our consumerism, in our way our economics work, in the way our country works, is that we have this higher self-esteem, make Britain great again, or make America great. You know, this kind of Western rhetoric that says that we're amazing and you're not, and we are free and you're not. And so we have to be very careful, actually. And Christianity is very good at breaking down those boundaries and actually saying, what does it mean to love our neighbor? What does it mean to love our neighbor today? And to say that actually, to the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win the Jews. And to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. It's like he's adapting to their context and understanding who they are in order to get the good news to them. And so who are we trying to reach the good news to today? And what is our purpose? You know, how are we loving our neighbor today? So there's so much in those three little paragraphs. There's so much to uncover. Thank you very much. Just had a cup of tea delivered. Thank you, Dom. So today, let's pray for Christian unity, as I said at the start. And let's pray for this sense of reaching our neighbor for the good news. To the weak, we must become weak. And to those who are enslaved, we must become like those enslaved. It's the body of Christ, isn't it? And it's so easy to ignore what's happening on the other side of the world, or even our own neighborhood, and to remain comfortable and hang out with those who are just like us. But we are called to be more than that, and Paul calls us to be more than that. But also he does it in a context where they think quite highly of themselves, and we need to approach this with humility and say, actually, we might not have everything completely right here. So it's a good message for a Monday morning, a bit of a reset to the week ahead. So let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that, for how you came to this world. We expected a king with a chariot and an army. We expected a political campaign and an upturning of everything that was happening. We expected the Romans to be demolished, to Israel to rise again. And yet what we encountered was the complete opposite. You died on the cross for us, Lord. You gave up your power so that we might see truly how to live and how to be free in this world. So often we get caught up with our own individual rights, our needs, our power, and yet you say to lay those down in order to reach those who need it most. And Lord, we need it. We need your presence here with us today. Your church needs it. As we continue to lose numbers, as the church is in decline, Lord, I pray for a miracle. I pray for something to change within us and within your people and within your churches that will point to you and draw attention of, the people to you. Lord, help us to reach the gospel that is relevant to people that need it today. And Lord, I pray for a medium that would be helpful as well, just like Hosea. He used a cultural medium that would have shocked people, but to call Israel a prostitute. But Lord, I pray that we might use our mediums well, as we preach, or as we do this over Facebook or over Zoom, or however we do things, or we talk with our neighbors. Lord, would you help us to be relevant and culturally in tune with their needs? Lord, I thank you for this challenge this morning. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.